The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. It was quite an exciting weekend here in Edmond, Oklahoma, with the build-up to the new musical, Undefeated, the story of Isaiah and Hezekiah. Lots of reaction in the community as well. It was a sold-out performance. I think after the show, everyone was pretty much electrified with excitement. My wife spoke to a local performance group. I think they were a singing and dancing company of some kind, and they were asking a lot about our dancers and the performers that we had in the production. And that's what I think some people are struck by when they see some of our musicals, is just the variety of talent and even the quality of the talent as well. Really an inspiring story. As well. That's, of course, what makes it such an inspirational experience, is just seeing that it's based strictly on the Bible, on the history. In this case, the history involving this very special prophet-king alliance, Isaiah and Hezekiah. That one lady that I was sitting next to, actually, I think it was her husband, though, that got up after the program and said it's a shame that this only had one showing. Shane Granger announced that right at the start of the program, or the musical. He said that this was a really special opportunity for everyone there in attendance, because it was only playing just the one time. And so the fellow sitting next to me lamented the fact that it was only going to be playing for one performance. But we'll see about that. Hopefully we'll have another opportunity. As you know, some of you, an earlier version of this musical played a couple of years ago, and with a few tweaks, which, by the way, for those who saw it, they probably noticed there at the start, it had been revised a bit to just connect to the exhibit out in the lobby with the three main performers, Sennacherib, Isaiah, and Hezekiah. Also talking about some of the artifacts out in the lobby, and how that, in the case of Isaiah, for instance, this seal belongs to me, as Ryan Malone said, the one who was playing Isaiah. So, as I say, just an uplifting day all the way around. One of the people in the audience said it was the best $10 that they've ever spent. I think it was $10 for adults and $5 for children. And I heard from someone else who said that someone from the community said, well, how do they afford to bring in a production like this? I mean, for just $10 per ticket, how can they pay all those performers? And one of our members said, well, these are all just members from our local congregation and from the college here in Edmond. And this lady was shocked that there was that kind of talent right here in North Edmond. So she thought for sure this was something that we funded and brought in from all over the world. Pretty amazing. Another funny exchange. Joel Hilliker related this to us last night. He, of course, played the big bad Sennacherib. And as he was leaving the auditorium, well, all of the performers came out in their full garb. And so he looked the part during the show and then afterwards as well. And this elderly lady who was leaving at the time that she spotted him in the hallway said, I hated you. And so he said, well, I appreciate that. That's the best compliment that I've gotten. He played a really good villain. And we remember that from the first time that the Isaiah production went to stage. So for me personally, besides seeing all of the action yesterday, Friday after we taped the radio program for the morning here in Edmond. Later that day, I visited the exhibitor, actually got in on one of the tours that went through the exhibit, and that too was just a really special experience. I think I might have mentioned previously just how fast everything came together for this exhibit. 7-8 weeks basically of planning. And so there was a lot that went into just getting all of the artifacts in place out in the lobby. But there was also a lot of preparation, clearly, to just get the staff ready and prepared to work with the community to be able to explain the significance of this story. And in my case, my wife had Sherry leading her tour group, I think about a week ago, and then Nick was leading our tour group. And it was just really inspiring to see the kind of message that people from around Oklahoma and even coming in from out of state, to see the message that they're getting. I think the group that I was with, there must have been 30 or 35 people. And here was Nick explaining this incredible history. And it's interesting, too, by the way, I spoke with a couple on a Saturday who had come out here for the Jeremiah exhibit back in 2012, I think it was. They were from Ohio, and they saw an advertisement that said, come see the Jeremiah Captors exhibit. And so they came all the way from Ohio just to see the exhibit, and that was in 2012. And as of 2016, they both were, well, I think the husband started attending in 2017, but the wife attended in 2016. So that was basically someone that came into God's church just with the exhibit, in this case, the Jeremiah exhibit, being their first contact. And that was an exhibit we had in the auditorium. I pointed this out over the weekend as well. We had it in the lobby there for 3.5 years, and all totaled, we had 4,500 people visit that exhibit. 4,500, two of them, the couple from Ohio. But that was 3.5 years, and this week, this is our 10th week, just 10 weeks, not even 3 months, that we've had this exhibit open, the Isaiah Hezekiah exhibit. And it looks like this week we might pass the number of people attending the exhibit that we had for Jeremiah. We're somewhere at like 42 or 4,300 right now, just for the summer. And so the numbers for this particular exhibit, they've exceeded our expectations by far. And there's no let up. I mean, just yesterday, now there might have been more people coming in because of the musical, but just the time or two that I popped into the lobby, I saw a bit of the rehearsal in the morning and then came back for the show in the afternoon. And each time I went through the lobby, I mean, it was full of people who were visiting the exhibit. And on the tour I was on Friday, by the way, the one lady asked one of the attendants, so have these bullae been showcased at any other exhibit or in any other museum? And the response was, no, I mean, this is the world premiere. And I mean, this woman was just amazed by that we would have this kind of exhibit in Edmond, Oklahoma. It really is. It really is a special way to advertise God's work, to promote God's truth, to preach a message to this world. And we'll have this exhibit for at least 4 or 5 more months. Who knows how many people we'll have before it's all said and done. And of course, who knows how long this exhibit will ultimately stay in the lobby. We were praying earlier in the summer that it would at least last through to January, and we now have that. We'll see if it gets extended even beyond that. Well, for the program today, at least in this first segment, I'd like to just consider that special relationship that we saw on stage yesterday, King Hezekiah and the prophet Isaiah. This is something that we drew attention to in the lead up to the ceremony that we had in Jerusalem on June 10th. And of course, it was hooked up with a crowd here in Edmond as well. But 2 Kings 18 and verse 5, says that King Hezekiah was Judah's greatest king. He was second only to King David. I mean, that's pretty special. That's what God thinks about Hezekiah. And yet, if you look at his successes, and he had a lot of success, he made some mistakes as well, and this was brought out too in the production yesterday. But when he was really going strong, I mean, it was because of this very special relationship that he had with the prophet Isaiah. When he faced a crisis and he looked to God's prophet, then he received wise counsel. When he looked to God's man, notice this in Isaiah 37. We'll just go through a few verses here in this chapter. It says in verse 1, "And it came to pass, when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of God." And so this dreaded Assyrian army, headed up by Sennacherib, was cutting a path right through to Judah. And as you know, so many of you know the history, Sennacherib had conquered all of Judah's fortified cities, including Lachish. I mean, that was, besides Jerusalem, that was the top prize. And now they were coming after Jerusalem, the crown jewel of the Judean kingdom. Verse 5 says, "So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah, and Isaiah said to them, 'Thus shall you say unto your master, thus says the Eternal, be not afraid of the words that you have heard, wherewith the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Behold, I will send a blast upon them, and he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land.'" Isaiah said, "You don't have to worry. God will fight this battle for you. He's going to fight for you." And Hezekiah, of course, had for, well, something like 25, 30 years, he had worked to purge the nation of idolatry. He had restored obedience to God's law. He made Judah God-centered. The nation revolved around the temple activities. But again, he had wise counsel and support coming from this great prophet of God. And this was, in so many ways, the key to Hezekiah's success. It says in verse 9, "And he heard, saying, Tirhakah, king of Ethiopia, he has come forth to make war with you. And when he heard it, he sent messengers to Hezekiah, saying, thus shall you speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, let not your God, in whom you trust, deceive you, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. And so the taunts came from Assyria. And that's what led up to, well, I think one of the more favorite scenes in the musical, where you have had all of the main performers on stage at the end of the song, spread it before the Lord. Down in verse 14 it says, "And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up unto the house of the Eternal, and he spread it before the Lord." So all of these Assyrian armies, they had captured all of the cities of Judah. Sennacherib was taunting the people of Jerusalem. And this is how Hezekiah responded to the problem, with encouragement coming from Isaiah. This is the key, really, to solving problems for all of us. That's why the lessons, they run so deep in this story. If we look to God, if we cry out to God with fervent prayer and then look to Him for salvation, for deliverance, God will intervene. God will provide. Verse 15, "And Hezekiah prayed unto the Eternal, saying, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel that dwells between the cherubims, you are the God, even you alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth." So here at the start of his prayer, he's praising God's greatness, his power and might. He says in verse 17, "Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see and hear all the words of Sennacherib, which has sent to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste all the nations and their countries." So, on the surface, it looked pretty bleak. But Sennacherib was no match for the God of the universe. Verse 19 says, "And have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they have destroyed them. Now, therefore, O eternal our God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the eternal, even you only. Save us. Save us from his hand." Herbert Armstrong wrote a classic article many years ago, and he referred to this example. The article was titled, "Let God Fight Your Battles." And he talked about these vast armies of Assyria marching toward Jerusalem, and how that the Jews were outnumbered, and that they didn't have the army or the power to stand up to Sennacherib's forces. He said they were helpless, the people of Judah. They were helpless. They were facing certain defeat. And then he said, that's just like us today. When we feel helpless in the face of all of our troubles, trials, and tests. Mr. Armstrong wrote, "That experience was written into the very word of God for your learning and to show you the way today. Perhaps you are faced with a foe more powerful than you. It may be some temptation. It may be some circumstance or condition or trouble, some serious worry." He says, "Then let me ask you, what are you relying on to withstand the siege of this trouble, to deliver you from it? What are you relying on? Are you relying on yourself or some other man to deliver you? Or the great God who created the universe?" He spread it before the Lord and trusted in his God to deliver Judah from the vast armies of Assyria. And so in this scene, we're going to play the song here in just a moment. But in this scene, you have Mark Jenkins, who played the part of King Hezekiah. And then you had the prophet Isaiah, Ryan Malone, and the prophetess, his wife Paula Malone. And then Sennacherib in the background. And it culminates in all four of them. That's my favorite part, right at the end, when all four of them are singing, crying aloud in this favorite for many, titled "Spread It Before the Lord." So we'll play this song and then head off to commercial.
Describing threats so bold, designed to make the bravest man afraid. What parchment did record to heaven these words soared? He took it to the temple and he prayed. He spread it before the Lord. Every single word and every single burden, how he laid them there. He spread it before the Lord. Every single want, every single taunt, he spread before the Lord.
Think not the God you serve can rescue or preserve your city, which my hosts have now enclosed. Jerusalem is trapped, and Zion's strength is sapped. Your dynasty and throne shall be deposed. All nations I laid waste, their gods I have disgraced. This fate your God and you will not like Telazar or Gozan or Rezef, Eden, Haran, these realms whose gods could not withstand my sword. The kings of Hamath and Hena, Sepharvaim, Arphad, Eva, all perished, as will you and your lord. All nations I laid waste, their gods I have disgraced. This fate your god and you will not. Go spread it before your Lord. Lord God of Israel, mid cherubim you dwell, where mighty hosts are singing your great worth. There you have set your throne, and you, O God alone, created all in heaven and in earth. Eternal, bend your ear, that you, O Lord, may hear the blasphemy the enemy proclaims. And open now your eyes, behold how he defies the living God he brazenly defames. I spread it before you, Lord, every single word and every single burden, how I laid them bare. I spread it before you, Lord, every single one, every single taunt, I show you every care. Oh, hear my urgent prayer. I spread it before you, Lord. I spread it before you, Lord. If you show the wicked favor, he never will be just. He will not behold your glory if he lays us in the dust. Let him behold you, God, and rightly be ashamed. Smite him with your zeal, consume him with your flame. We have waited for you, Lord, for justice we inquire, to see your fame remembered. This is our soul's desire. Other lords have ruled us, other masters than our God, but only you we mention, and only you we laud. We spread it before you, Lord. Every single phrase, every single praise, your works beyond compare, your honor we declare. We spread it before you, Lord. All nations they laid
all
waste.
Nations I laid
their
waste.
Gods, they have disgraced.
Their gods I have disgraced.
Their lifeless idols made of stones and
stones and trees.
Thou save us from his
the
hand.
Power of all
the only God who
is
can.
Given to my
so
hands.
All nations worship you upon their knees. I spread it before
go
you,
spread
Lord.
It before your Lord.
Every single word and every single burden, how I laid them bare. I spread it before you,
we spread it before you.
And every single word, every single phrase,
every single
tongue,
every single
I show you every care.
CGFM, and this is the Trumpet Daily. Hezekiah was one of Judah's greatest kings. It says in 2 Kings 18 that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. King David established the pattern, and Hezekiah followed that righteous example. He revived Judah's religion, cleaned up the priesthood, and reopened the temple for true worship. For much more about Hezekiah's reign and the throne of David, request Gerald Flurry's new book, The Former Prophets. The Book of Joshua, Judges and Kings record a broad sweep of history of the nation of Israel. From the time the Israelites entered the Promised Land under the leadership of Joshua until the two parts of the divided kingdom, Israel and Judah, were conquered and taken into captivity. But there is a lot more to these books than just history. The Former Prophets contain many vital spiritual lessons for us today. As part of this free offer, you may also subscribe to The Trumpet magazine. Each month, The Trumpet staff watches world trends and gathers for you the hidden meaning behind the real world in which you live. The Trumpet relies on the sure word of Bible prophecy to bring you understanding of the news behind the news. Become a subscriber today. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
One of the nice things about the musical yesterday as well was the program had, of course, all of the performers listed in there, as well as the scenes. They described the scenes in the middle of the program or brochure, and then also each of the songs, they had the words as well as the scriptural references printed in there. And several people sitting around me were watching the musical and then also reading along from these various Bible passages in Kings and Isaiah, the book of Isaiah. So as I say, there was just a wonderful message, as well as all of this talent and skill on display. Just a beautiful way to present God's truth. And of course, following the prayer to God, spreading it before the Lord. You can read there at the end of Isaiah 37, where God sends a death angel, and he smites the entire Assyrian army, 185,000 strong. And there's a wonderful scene in the musical as well, with the death angel dancing around with two swords waving in the air as this Assyrian army collapses to the ground. The Jews didn't even have to lift a finger. God took care of that trial. God intervened. He backed this righteous king who came to power when he was just 25 years of age. He was just a young man looking to God. We're starting our school year. This first day of the fall semester is today. Orientation is today. And we have young people coming in from all over the world in their late teens, early 20s. Look at what God can do through a young person who's committed to God. Well, he had a long life in service to God, or at least a long reign, 29 years, reforming Judah, ridding the kingdom of all the paganism, as I said in the first segment, reestablishing God's law as the supreme law of the land, and really beautifying Solomon's temple, in a lot of ways raising it from the ruins. It had fallen into a state of disrepair. So here he is, this king, along with this prophet of God. What a team. Isaiah was the most important and influential figure in Hezekiah's reign, in this national revival. We've pointed out before how Isaiah and Hezekiah There's 15 occasions in the Old Testament where their names are mentioned in the same verse, or as Dr. Mazar put it, in the same breath. She's aware of this connection. That's why she said, if you're going to put the Hezekiah bulla in your exhibit, you need Isaiah too, because they're part of the same story. They're mentioned in the same breath. And it's a pretty, I talked about this in a message over the weekend, but it's an inspiring story in itself. Just the way we were able to get this exhibit, to put it on display in God's house. What a special connection. These two, and then even the two bulle, here they were found within a few feet of each other. Even the two bulle have a literally close connection. Found in the same space, right there at the Ophel. In Isaiah 57, I want to take you to another one of my favorites from the musical. This one performed by Paula Malone. And it's based upon this verse in Isaiah 57 in verse 15, where it says, "For thus says the high and lofty one." Remember, this is the being that Hezekiah trusted in faith. This is the great being that Hezekiah prayed to fervently. "The high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy." It says, "I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also, that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble." There was another selection from the musical that keyed in on that phrase. "And to revive the heart of the contrite ones." My father's talked about this being one of the more revealing verses in all the Bible. I mean, if we have that rebellious spirit crushed, if God helps us to crush that rebellious spirit, I mean, we can dwell on high with God. That's what this is saying. God dwells in the high and lofty place. And he's reviving the spirit of the humble. We're called upon to teach the entire world how to be humble before God. Verse 16 says, "For I will not contend forever, neither will I be always wroth. For the spirit should fail before me, and the souls which I have made." God made us. He's not going to contend with mankind forever. There's a cutoff point. And he's working out a plan here below that's going to bring billions and billions of human beings into his family. Look at what God will do. Look at what he'll do with those who humble themselves. Isaiah 66 is another well-known passage on the point of humility. It says there that, "Thus says the Eternal, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? Where do you find God?" It says in verse 2, "For all those things has my hand made, and all those things have been, says the Eternal, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word." If we tremble at God's word, if we're poor and of a contrite spirit, then we can dwell with God in his high and lofty place. This God who inhabits eternity, as it says in Isaiah 57. This comes from the second half of the musical, a little ways in, and while Mrs. Malone was singing the song, there were all these images on the screen behind her of the universe, and it really was, as I say, an inspiring song. So here's Paula Malone singing "He Inhabits Eternity" from the musical Undefeated.
to be a wondrous sign to prove his prayer was answered through a miracle of time.
Behold your father's palace, the shadow on its stairs reveals the earth's rotation, time's passage it declares.
The shadow could go forward or backward 10 degrees, whichever he selected would follow God's decree.
Sun's direction, reverse the course of day.
This wonder God displayed, for he inhabits eternity in an everlasting place. He is enthroned amid infinity. Degrees one way or 15 years to come for a being who existed before time had begun. He can pause the sun in orbit, he can make the day stand still, he can turn the shadow back.
Today, as a thousand years.
You're listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. For 6,000 years, humanity has been going the way of pride and vanity, selfishness and greed. Human beings have been filled with self-gratification, jealousy, envy, resentment toward others, a spirit of rebellion against authority, and hostility toward God and God's laws. The true Christian must overcome these tendencies through a process known as conversion. For much more on this subject, request the free booklet, Just What Do You Mean? Conversion. Being converted is not an initiation into a secret club or society. It is not a rite or ceremony. It is a matter of turning away from the way of vanity and selfishness to a new and true way of life in Christ Jesus, living by every word of God, in and by the power of God's Holy Spirit. To learn more, please visit thetrumpet.com. This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
And welcome back to the program. We're going to conclude today. I think we'll have another, I think we'll have enough time for another selection to finish today's show. But before that, I'll just roll through a few emails that have come in over the past week or so. This one here says, thank you so much for the recent program titled God Expects More. I feel it brought forth an hundredfold, mighty in admonition. There's so much to glean in that one program that has really helped me put into practice and apply and be a doer and take action and implement and do it now and just do it, he says, with all the priorities of the spiritual life. It says the prods we get in this spiritual war keep us from being slain in the current spiritual hot war until the return of Christ. I've been a regular listener to the Trumpet Daily since just after Brexit, and this specific program has really motivated me. The way God's truth is being trumpeted is ear-piercing. It will be an exciting next few months as God's true church emerges into the spotlight more and more. I wish for one day this program played on repeat on every television channel across the world. It says soon things will be that way and better. And then finally, what a marvel that God's sword is being wielded so much more aggressively every day. I strongly believe the prayers of the saints are rapidly hastening world events. Another one here says, the program today, like every program, is so very practical. I'm reading How to Pray Again, and I'm also studying the New Throne of David book. It says, thank you so much for this concrete understanding of God's way of life. It truly has opened my mind a lot. I know God does expect me to give more, and I should, but like you said, we tend to let down and stop growing in the knowledge. I will start to give where God would want me to give financially, but I'm always giving my prayers to the Philadelphia Church of God, and I expect to give more. Again, I would like to thank you for every single program. It's the best part of the day. Another one here says, I'm very close to starting to read the New Throne of David book, and just wanted to touch on how amazed I am at how God speaks through his church. It seems like I pray before bed and upon my study the next morning, he's speaking directly to me about what was prayed over the night before, whether I read, which is most of the time, or whether I listen to the program from the previous day or two. It truly feels like he's sitting right there with me, talking to me, and I can't express enough how amazing it is to witness. Thank you for the episodes last Monday and Tuesday, and I'm planning on listening to the rest of the weeks between tonight and the Sabbath, the rest of the week's episodes. I pray in the mornings and most evenings, but know I can get it for sure 3 times a day with some more vigilance. That's speaking of prayer, and that along with making sure I spend my tithes to his house, are going to be the first things that I work on to do more of. Another one here says, this was when I must have given a little weather update on the rain in Oklahoma. It says, weather info was good. We have followed Mr. Armstrong. We who have followed Mr. Armstrong know all too well who is in charge of that. It says, the superb idea given on focusing on our reading material was just what I needed. A distraction notepad, of course. I had to write that down immediately before my focus left me. Now I'll keep it by my reading material. Thank you for that. I so love the show and always get much needed and much rejected news information. You're my go-to news channel. This one here about my beloved computer. It says, the likely reason your MacBook Air failed was probably due to overheating and failure of the graphics chip. Since Steve Jobs stepped down in 2009, Apple has been making its product line as cheaply as possible. Moreover, Apple no longer provides replacement parts for any Apple product that is older than 2 years. iPhones made after the Model 4 never last more than 2 years due to overheating and swollen batteries. So this is no fan of Apple, or at least he's commenting on the quality deteriorating since the death of Steve Jobs. So we've had all those programs about Steve Jobs aiming for perfection, and well, he's probably right. There probably has been a drop-off since his death. I will say, though, that the Apple people, my warranty had expired, I think, just a month before. I had to go in and get my screen fixed, and they were nice enough to extend it for us. We do give them quite a lot of business, so we were happy that they replaced the screen. But this attentive listener may well be onto something. One final one here. It says, I caught the last part of your show today, and I sat in my chair riveted as I listened. Everything you said made absolutely perfect sense. God does expect more from his family. They are the royals who inspire, lead, and motivate the rest of us. Their godly examples show us that if you are willing, you can achieve unimaginable heights physically, mentally, and most of all spiritually. Astounding. Thank you so much for your wonderful program. Thank God for you and your staff, for everything that you're producing. Keep up the good work. Well, that leaves us enough time to play another one of my favorites. This is the song that leads off the second half of the performance in Undefeated. The second act, it's headed up by Ryan Malone, who plays Isaiah the prophet. And the title of this song is Here Am I, and we'll conclude today's program with this.
That our King Uzziah died, I saw the eternal enthroned on high, a breathtaking vision, supremely sublime and splendid. With glorious garments this being was clothed, from heaven the hem of his skirt overflowed, and into the temple these priestly robes descended. Now standing above this magnificent chair, the bright shining seraphim ministered there, a fiery sight under which was this mercy seat framed. Of their six wings, over their faces were two,
a pair covered their feet, and with two wings they flew, and one to another these luminous angels exclaimed, "Holy, holy, 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 eternal, holy, 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 that praise the eternal of hosts shook the doors and shook their posts and filled all the house with spectacular sweet-smelling smoke. I replied, "Woe is me, for I am undone. I have unclean lips and an impure tongue, and I've seen the Lord, so his graciousness I must implore. That all my transgressions were purged, my sins once as crimson were now made as white as the snow. Then I heard the eternal inquire from his throne, "Who shall I send, and for us who shall go?" And I, Isaiah, uttered this eager plea, "Here am I, send me. I will volunteer, I will go where I'm required. Here am I, here am I." God gave me the tongue and the ear of the learned, that I might proclaim an encouraging word, a word fitly spoken to those who are weary and faint. Here am I to hear your complaint. Here am I, from no mission will I hide. I will sign my name, I will walk by faith, I will step with valiant stride.